Mini episode 1757 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the FDH Lounge. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here with my fellow original dignitary Chris Galloway, and this is the culmination, this is part 9 of our 2024 NFL preview. We've gone through division by division, and you can hear our macro level notes for the season, mini episode 1748, our AFC East preview. We always do those ones in the first portion there. And again, we didn't have too many of them for this year because it was not as active an off-season in the NFL as in some years. We went through division by division. We gave you our picks for how each team was going to do as far as where they were going to place in the division, what the playoff teams were going to be. And this now is the culmination of where we tell you what we think is going to happen in the playoffs. And again, to revisit here from this, division by division segments were done with a little bit of a baseline from Fantasy Football Draftology 2024, available on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com. Go to pages 17 and 18, one run-on sentence for each team, AFC page 17, NFC page 18, and we reacted to what my one run-on sentence was for each team, and that was the basis for our playoff predictions here. So we're going to start with the AFC, and just to recap what we had in here before we give you our playoff predictions here. In the AFC East, I went a little bit against the grain. I know that Miami has been the popular pick in the division, and as much as I, as a Dolphins honk, would love to agree, I took Buffalo as my only pick to come out of the AFC East. And Chris, I know you disagreed. You had Miami as the division champion, and I think Buffalo, yes? As a wild card?
That's correct. I have Miami winning the division and Buffalo as the wild card.
Okay. AFC North, I have the Bengals winning and I have the Browns as a wild card, although you were substantially talking me out of that during our segment here. But I'm going to stick with the Browns, even though everything you were saying was kind of making sense to me. And I've been certainly more bearish on them than most the last couple of years. But what the heck? It was the prediction that I made a couple weeks ago. I'll stay with it. Cincinnati and then Cleveland. I think you had Cincinnati and then what? Baltimore as a wild card?
That's correct. I have Baltimore as the wild card with Cincinnati winning the division.
Okay. AFC South, we're both picking Houston to win the division. I remember that. I'm picking Indianapolis as a wild card and a tiebreaker with a few other teams. I don't think you did the same. Was it Houston as the only playoff team for you?
No, I have Houston and then the Jaguars.
Oh, yes.
The Jaguars eking out over the Colts for the wild card position.
Okay. And then in the AFC West, I think I remember this one pretty clearly. Obviously, we both had Kansas City winning the division. I had the Chargers as a wild card, and I think you strenuously disagreed. Yes?
I have only the Chiefs coming out of that division.
Okay. Well, here is something that I said when we were talking about, I think it was in the AFC West segment, in terms of looking at the AFC, that there was a dynamic the two seasons before this past one between Kansas City, Buffalo, and Cincinnati, of where the team that had to play, out of the three teams, the one that had to play the other two in the divisional round and championship Sunday ended up losing. The first time around, the team that lost was Kansas City, very memorably coughing up a big lead on their home turf. And the next year they beat Cincinnati, who had to go through Buffalo. I said, I think we're in the same dynamic now, but I think Houston is now the other part of that big three. So as I start to give you my matchups here, that's going to kind of be a spoiler for how I see this going in the AFC. I've got number 2, Kansas City, over number 7, Indianapolis in the first round. A little bit of deja vu with the 3-6 Houston over Cleveland. And my 4-5 is Buffalo over the LA Chargers. So here's what that sets up in the second round. Number 2, Kansas City over number 3, Houston. And number 1, Cincinnati over number 4, Buffalo. A little bit of nostalgia to get back to that matchup. And then Championship Sunday, I've got the Chiefs having to come to Riverfront and losing to the number 1 seed Cincinnati Bengals, who I see making it back to the Super Bowl as they did in the 2021 season. I get the general sense from you, Chris, from talking to you, you see things probably slightly different than that.
Yeah, I don't, as we always do every year, I don't sit down and write out brackets and try to really figure out like what wild card is going to be ranked where with the same record and all the rest of that kind of stuff.
So okay.
What I see is a Bengals-Texans championship game.
Okay.
I have the Chiefs. This is, you know, shocking. But I have the Chiefs not able to get past the Bengals in my mind in the second round.
Okay.
And where that game is, I don't know. I'm not bracket. Like I said, I'm not bracketing it.
Okay.
But I, like you, that might, so my championship game is a little different. But I have then a healthy Joe Burrow and the Bengals eking out a win over the Texans because of experience.
Okay.
And the Bengals returning to the Super Bowl as the representative of the AFC and a hard-fought win over the Texans.
This is, again, fascinating to me because, again, you and I didn't coordinate with each other ahead of time here. And for us both to be picking Cincinnati, it's a sense where, now, again, maybe we both had the same sense independently that there's a lot of people sleeping on them, but, like, relative to the rest of the field, it feels like nobody is picking them, Chris. And that's, like I said, oddly enough, one of the things that drew me to them, and I don't know if that was the same with you or not.
For me, it was, again, I'm more than anything, I'm banking on healthy Joe Burrow this year.
Yes, obviously.
And obviously they have the vertical threats. And so that really, you know, that's what it comes down to. If Joe misses half the season or more, or, you know, then that's just throw that out the window.
Yes.
And again, I get it. You can say that about it. I mean, the Texans are sunk if no CJ Stroud. The Chiefs are sunk if no Mahomes. I mean, it's, you know, the Browns are sunk if Watson plays, you know, because the Browns have shown that they're the one franchise that seems to be able to figure out how to win without a quarterback.
Yeah.
For all the critique we have, I mean, look at last year, 5 quarterbacks.
Yeah.
They won 11 games. Not many teams can actually say they can even do that.
Yes.
Which is probably a testament to the quality of the coaching. But I think that, you know, again, I believe in Kansas City to be a good team. I just think their nemesis is the Bengals. The Bengals match up, take them out, and then the experience of Cincinnati in that championship game gets them over the top with Burrow and those wide receivers over Stroud. Texans take another big step forward in getting to the AFC championship game. But like you, I just think a healthy Joe Burrow is a difference maker for that franchise. He is their Aaron Rodgers in terms of being a Band-Aid for any holes that they have.
He is, and for anybody that questions you on what you said about Cincinnati being a nemesis for Kansas City, given that they lost the championship game for the AFC for the 2022 season, I would point out, number one, again, what I said previously, Cincinnati had to go through Buffalo the previous week. Kansas City did not, and there was a clear line of demarcation at that time between those three teams and the rest of the conference. So that was something that worked against Cincinnati. And then also, too, given the fact that Cincinnati had gone in and beaten them the previous year, just that whole thing, it wasn't their fault per se with the overconfidence, but, like, you remember that idiot city councilman that texted that they're like, Joe Burrow is the Chiefs' daddy, and, like, they put that on their locker room wall and everything like that. So, I mean, all of the sort of hubbub around the Bengals, some of the idiots in their fan base really got Kansas City fired up with the overconfidence there. So,
well, and I remember that earlier, that late in the season, the Chiefs had gone to Cincinnati and Cincinnati triumphed in a hard-fought win.
Yes.
I think a lot of teams right now are in inherently, immediately intimidated by the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I will say this. Last year, a lot of teams had some success mentally getting over that fear.
Yeah.
Right? Started with the Lions right out of the gate, punching them in the mouth and winning on the road.
Yeah.
And so I think some of that luster and fear of the Chiefs is wearing off a little bit, but Mahomes is still Mahomes. You know, Andy Reid is still Andy Reid.
Right.
I think they got a little bit better on the outside this year. And so, again, I think Kansas City's dangerous, but I think Kansas City knows, and when they play Cincinnati, and that's not to say Cincinnati's going to beat them all the time, but there is no fear there from the Bengals about their ability to beat the Chiefs. Oddly, it's the same way I think when the Browns play the Bengals. There's no fear on the part of the Browns. The Browns can be terrible or whatnot, but, you know, the Bengals just don't seem to be able to beat them by and large. And this doesn't mean that they don't ever beat the Browns.
Right.
But the Browns have certainly, they go in confident always playing the Bengals. And more times than not, they win. So there is, you have to tip your cap to the mental aspect of these games. And I just think that the Bengals don't fear playing the Chiefs. And so I think that they triumph there. They face the Texans in the championship game. To your point, that should set your theory, the Bengals up for failure in the championship game.
Yeah.
Because they should be the team that's taxed, you know, taking on the Texans, and the Texans, you know, end up in the Super Bowl. But I think ultimately experience, and you get Joe Burrow into the AFC championship game against an inexperienced team that's there for the first time, and I think he feasts.
Well,
I'm picking the Bengals for that reason. Like you said, you and I don't talk about this beforehand. We don't pre-plan.
Right.
It's, you know, it's kind of funny that we both are taking the Bengals. But here we are.
I think there was a couple of years ago where we actually had the same match. Believe it or not, it might have been 2021. I think we both thought that the Browns were getting to the Super Bowl.
We had them losing.
I had them winning. I thought they were going to win. I thought they were going to beat the Rams. I believe I picked, and the Rams did make it that far that year. Let's expand on your point a bit more before we pivot to the NFC. Off the top of my head, the only team to have kept Kansas City out the Super Bowl the last couple of years has been Cincinnati. Kansas City has won the last two Super Bowls, and then before, Cincinnati won the AFC and lost in the Super Bowl to the Rams in the year that I thought the Browns were going to make it there. Remember the previous year, they lose to Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl, and the previous year they get their first Super Bowl win of this era in beating San Francisco. They're the only team that has stopped them from making the Super Bowl the last couple of years, and they would be the only team going back to 2018 if Dee Ford knew how to line up on the line of scrimmage. Were it not for that, you'd have Kansas City being the AFC champion every year but one going back to 2018, not 2019, and Cincinnati's the one team that stopped them there. So yeah, Chris, if there's any team that might be in their heads, it's them, because it's them that's kept them from being perfect in the AFC championship game during that run.
Well, you make my point. Thank you.
Yes, yes. It occurred to me as you were talking. I started like, how long has this been? And I was like, oh yeah, the Bengals really are the only team over that period of time. So we move to what will probably be an infinitely less interesting NFC, but here's how it goes. In the NFC East, I picked Philly to win. Controversially, Dallas not to even make a wild card, and I believe you actually did the same.
That's correct. I do not have the Cowboys making the playoffs.
Okay. In the NFC North, I do remember I picked Detroit to win the division again, Green Bay to make it as a wild card again, and you had those two flip-flopped, yes?
That is correct. I have the Packers as taking it and the Lions as the wild card.
Okay. In the NFC South, where we're always looking for what's the least unappealing shade of brown poop, I've got New Orleans coming out by default, and you've got Atlanta coming out by default, yes?
That is correct. I have Atlanta coming out.
Okay, and then in the NFC West, I actually have three playoff teams here, again, just by default, just because I can rule out so many other teams from other divisions. I have San Francisco, winning the division. I have the Rams as a wild card, which I believe you do too. And the only difference between us, I think, is that I have Seattle as an additional wild card.
Yes, and actually, I think, so to correct the record, I think that I have the Rams in, but I want to correct what we started off with. I actually have the Cowboys in.
Oh, Cowboys in, okay.
At 9-8, yeah, I do have the Cowboys in.
Yeah, because you needed a third team in the playoffs, okay.
The Cowboys in at 9-8, but okay. I think that was sort of the confusion of I was saying that they were going to just, you know, barely eke their way in at 9-8.
Okay. And I've got them out at 8-9, which, you know, again, that'll be, if it's possible for there to be anything more than 24/7 saturation, that's what you'll get on ESPN in the month of December if that happens in January. But setting it up for the NFC, here's how I have it going in the first round here. Number 2, Detroit, over number 7, Seattle. This may not be necessarily even that close of a game. Number 3, San Francisco, over number 6, LA Rams. I went back and forth on this one because McVay's had pretty good success over San Francisco over a period of time, so I wouldn't actually rule out an upset, but I'm picking San Francisco in a close one. And then, again, number 5, Green Bay, to absolutely house number 4, New Orleans. No shock there. Divisional round. Here's where it starts getting real. Number 1, Philadelphia, over number 5, Green Bay. I see that being very close, actually, but Philly emerges. And then in a rematch of last year's NFC Championship game, number 2, Detroit, over number 3, San Francisco. But I just have Detroit getting as far as they did a year ago, Championship Sunday. Number 1, Philadelphia, over number 2, Detroit, on Championship Sunday. I'm guessing that some of your thoughts on these are going to be different, Chris.
Well, they're different but similar. I've got, obviously, the Lions as the top wild card, so they go to Atlanta and they beat them up. We've talked about that previously. I do have the 49ers as the number 1 seed. But in ultimately, how I have it breaking out is I do have, it's a lot of replay of last year, I have Green Bay succeeding in the NFC Championship this go around and beating the Bengals, and then the Green Bay going into the championship game and losing to the Bengals.
Okay, in the Super Bowl.
So I have Packers, Bengals, and Joe Burrow hoists a trophy for Cincinnati, and Browns fans were crying.
You and I do agree about that. And by the way, before I get to my specific prediction on that, as far as just the weird insecurity of Browns fans over a period of time, the whole thing where I don't think this stopped even after the Bengals made the Super Bowl. Oh, Bengals are little brother. Just because, like, the Bengals always seem to have, like, 60% of their roster hurt every time they play the Browns. But it's like, oh, look at our record against the Bengals. And it's like, I hate to tell you people, but, like, the measure of your franchise is more than what happens in your head-to-head matchups. Like, Browns fans trying to clown the Bengals because of that is so pathetic to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a great look, because ultimately it matters is, are you winning in the playoffs and getting to the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Right? And for all the flaws of that franchise and that ownership, they've now been to the Super Bowl many more times than the Browns.
Yep.
Now, the Browns, historically, as a franchise, have a much winning, much larger, you know, much more of a winning history. Well, because of the guy that founded the Bengals.
Yeah.
You know, and don't be shocked if the Browns sweep the Bengals this year, right?
Yeah.
But as to your point, if the Bengals go and win their first Super Bowl, you know, the Browns aren't going to be able to be like, well, we swept them. Like, that means we're better than them. Like, no, that's not how this works.
Yeah, but knowing this fan base, there are going to be people that are going to say that. But, you know, that's one of those things where you look at it. Now, again, Browns, as I always say, you know, I always point this out, you know, historically, 8 world championships. So, like, the Squealers have still got 2 to go. 6 Super Bowls, that's cute. You still have 2 to go on that. Everybody thinks that the championships were invented with the Super Bowl. They, of course, predate that significantly, because we just went through, again, the NFL centennial a couple of years ago. So, and the first Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I will say this, and again, as a Browns fan, I mean, yes, the Browns have historically, the franchise, well, they won a lot of titles. They haven't won anything in a long, long time.
Not in our lifetimes.
And certainly in people's lifetimes.
No. Right? Certainly not.
So, you know, when we talk about things like the, you know, fans are, you know, they can't understand why Brandon Ayuk didn't just sign that contract and come to the Browns. I'm like, y'all realize, right, that he's 26 and literally his entire life, his formulative time on this earth, the Browns have been the butt of every joke. They've been a disaster of a franchise. They've been a loser franchise. Everyone's like, they're ready to win now. Like, he should go to the Browns, not the Patriots or not the Steelers. Or I think on paper, you could say, yeah, that actually makes sense. But think of the psyche of a 26-year-old man, right?
Yeah.
The only thing he's ever known is that the Browns are the butt of every joke in the NFL.
Yeah.
That they've been a disaster, dumpster fire of franchise. So I was in no way shocked that he was like, nope, not signing that. Right?
Right.
That's all he's ever known about the Browns. He doesn't care about the Browns from the 40s, 50s, and 60s.
No, that's true.
And so I think that Browns fans have just got to, we have to somehow let go of it, right?
Yeah.
It's like, the bottom line is, we haven't been to a Super Bowl. We're into Super Bowl 50-something.
59. 59. Yep.
Whatever the hell it is, right?
Yep.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
And so I don't, as a fan, don't want to talk about those
right.
old teams anymore.
Right.
Like, just stop.
Yeah.
Like, we got to focus on the fact that we have not won consistently enough in the new era.
No.
And so that's got to be the focus. And say what you will, the Bengals have had a few runs, but they've also had interspersed in there, like the Browns, a number of seasons where they were a clown show and a joke, right? They were called the Bungles for a reason, right? But they've managed to string together little moments of success.
Yes, they have.
And something that the Browns have not been able to do.
No, that's
other
true.
Other than a few years in the 80s where they got robbed a couple times on bad reffing and, that field goal was wide left. Sorry.
Yes. Wait a minute. The Denver game... come on. Rich Carlos didn't make that field goal. Like, can we admit this? Nobody outside of Cleveland will ever say that, but Rich Carlos did not make the field goal.
Just said it. He did not make that field goal.
Okay.
They got robbed.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, all right. All right. Okay, my bad. So, you know.
So
yeah.
There were some good Browns teams, obviously, in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
That were at least one that should have gone to the Super Bowl, maybe two.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that might have, what if they had won one of those Super Bowls, right?
Yeah, like, could have. Easily could have.
You know, they easily could have because Denver went and flamed out, but the Browns, I thought, were a better matchup.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yes.
You can't rewrite history. Didn't matter. They didn't get there. So anyway, Browns fans, we have to move on and realize we haven't been winning. And we have the Bengals number. And that's a good start, right?
Yeah.
So it talks about, like, if we ever were to face them in the playoffs, would the Browns be afraid? No, I don't think so. Right?
No.
So, but I don't think this is the year because I just...
Me neither.
This team just feels weird. And I like the Bengals to finally get it done. Right. I like Joe Burrow to bounce back from the injury season last year and hoist the trophy.
Before I bring this thing all the way around and give you my Super Bowl pick, I will just go back to when you're talking about 21st century Browns. I was discussing this the other day with a good friend, fellow FDH Lounge dignitary, John Adams, about the Dallas game in 08. Because that year, like this year, they open at home against Dallas, nationally broadcast game. And one of the things of, like, you talk about getting clowned. I've never seen a hot-dogging moment like this in my life in any sport. Romo drops back to pass at one point. And, you know, he's looking, he's waiting for a guy to get open, he's shuffling his feet, and then he stops. I've never seen this. I've never seen a quarterback be stationary, patting the ball, not pretending, not even feigning fear that a rusher was going to break three and come to him. He's just waiting for a guy to get open without moving his feet. I mean, I've never seen that before or since, Chris. So, you know, emblematic of what the 21st century Browns have been. And if you're a Browns fan, it's not going to get any better when you watch the Super Bowl this year, because I agree with you. While I do disagree slightly on who it is that they're going to be playing, I think it's going to be Philly getting back to the Super Bowl, but I think it's Philly going to be coming up empty for the second time out of three in this era of the last several seasons, Cincinnati winning their first Super Bowl. So as we are talking about here, Paul Brown and all of that, the NFL championship, the world championship returns to the state of Ohio, but down there at the southern end on the Ohio River rather than the eight previous times that the world championship was brought back to the shores of Lake Erie. It'll be the Bengals. And again, nothing good will come of that from a Browns fans' perspective, Chris, as you and I well know.
It's going to be a dark day of despair for Browns fans, because the only thing worse than that is when they had to watch the Steelers win.
But again, you know, like from yours and my perspective here, maybe not so much, because Joe Burrow, as we've said previously, and it's a great troll of our great senior editor, Jason Jones, who gets so annoyed to hear us speak of Joe Burrow as the honorary Bobcat, but he basically was Mr. 740. So, you know, I've always said that, you know, I mean, all things being equal, if he's not playing a team I'm rooting for, I got no problem seeing Joe Burr get the job done. I'm proud of the kid. You've talked about that, of like all the years of seeing him underfoot there in the club on the 50-yard line watching the OU games. So, you know, Joe Burrow Stadium, as it has now been named, where I used to call high school football games, dare I say, before Joe Burrow was even born. So, you know, you and I have our own reasons for saying, hey, you know, good for the young man if he gets it done.
Listen, I'm going to root for Joe Burrow because I like him.
Yes.
And he's a good kid from a good family.
Yep.
And, you know, he's a Southeastern Ohio boy and made good.
Yep.
He went to the other franchise. It's funny, you and I talked about in that draft, I remember saying to you, would you give the Browns like a couple years of number ones and Baker Mayfield to the Bengals, like two number ones and Baker to get that pick to draft Burrow? We both said, absolutely, I would.
Yeah.
And we were right.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were absolutely right. So, I mean, look, and the bottom line is Burrow was a Buckeye. So there's a lot of Ohioans that have a soft spot there.
Yep.
And, you know, he's a Southeastern Ohio boy. So, you know, it won't hurt as hard. There are a lot of Browns fans that acknowledge that they do like Burrow.
Sure.
Even though they want to make sure that the Browns beat him whenever they play, but yeah, they do like him. So it'll be bittersweet, but it's amazing that we went through all these episodes and all these segments, and you and I have the same team winning the Super Bowl. So there you go. That's either two fools in the same ship or brilliant minds think alike. I don't know. We'll find out soon enough.
We've had this happen a few times again. I think there's at least... This is maybe the third time, I think, at least, that we've had the same team win the Super Bowl. So you and I a lot of times end up at the same place. But again, you know, we're talking football between ourselves so much during the year. So, you know, we talk a lot off air about football. We're texting about it. So, I mean, it's bound to come up. We're bound to sort of be thinking along the same lines with these things here. But, Chris, thank you so much, my friend. This entire series, awesome as always. Thank you, as always, for making it possible.
Rick, it was fun. Glad to be here, and look forward to talking some more football as we get into the season.
Yep, we'll keep it going once the season gets on here, and we'll see how the 2024 NFL season plays out. But that's our thoughts in this 9-part series for how it's all going to go. For Chris Galloway, I'm Rick Morris. Thank you so much for being here for this mini episode of the FDH Lounge.